You have to have faith, and you have to be full of love. That's what he's coming back for, as a bride without spot, which would be you didn't have any faith. In other words, you didn't trust that the blood covered all your sins. How many know that you're not an innocent person? You're wicked as all get out. And therefore, you got the blood to cover you. So forget that. That's taken care of by the blood of Jesus. So you don't have to now, that you can't be sad anymore. We already know you're bad, but that's covered. So now you're good. And that's just declared. But then it's also made effective on this earth so that we're actually changed in this world. And people see our light. If you don't have any light, you probably didn't have any faith. So your spots are still not covered. So just because you say you're a believer doesn't mean you are. Or just because you say, I have faith, but there's no activity, there's no Holy Spirit, there's no power, there's no joy, there's no change in your marriage or change in your business or change in this world that people can see and taste and touch and smell, there's something wrong with that. Because God intended for the light to be shining in the darkness. And much of the world today is actually turning to the Lord. The fact that this country is on a downhill spin, it doesn't reflect what's going on in the rest of the world. The rest of the world is not afraid of suffering. They're not afraid of all that stuff. They've already lived a worthless life. And so they're just happy to have their sins forgiven. And they're rejoicing over that, getting filled with the Spirit, and going on with God. And America seems to be hung up on the American dream or something. And, you know, if you seek first the kingdom, he'll give you all those other things. But if you seek first those things, trying to get all that mammon stuff, you'll lose everything. You lose both. And so America's going down the drain right now because we've lost our way. We no longer have a spiritual foundation. Now, today I want to look at two people. The first one is Erasmus, and the other one's Luther. Now, these were the two great voices in the 16th century when the Roman Catholic Church fell apart. The first one was Erasmus, and Erasmus was born in 1466. I don't think you can see that because this pen is no good. Try another one here. I think this one will be good. I don't know what color this is. Let's see how this one goes. Yeah, much better. Erasmus. So Erasmus was born in 1466. That means right about the time that the Muslims were conquering Europe. And the Muslims had threatened to take over the whole of Europe. Now, today they've actually almost done it. Today, European civilization is almost at an end. And the Muslims didn't win at this time because of the Reformation. Now, the only way to save yourself from this kind of antichrist takeover is spiritual. And so Erasmus wouldn't have helped. But another man, Luther, at the same time, was born 14 years later, Martin Luther. And this man did not just want to reform the church and fix it up a little bit, but he wanted to change it totally and down to its theology. And he claimed that the Roman Catholic Church was not a true church, that even though it was Christian, it was foolish. And so today, these things that they argued about were exactly the same things that are happening in our world today. So if you're not ready, then you need to know that the Holy Spirit's getting the world ready, whether you're ready or not. That's up to you if you want to be ready. You don't have to be ready. You can just perish. But if you want to be ready, then you need to listen to what these guys were talking about. Because the one guy, Erasmus, he was called a humanist. In other words, he's a Christian, but he believed that the only thing wrong with the church of the day was that some people were immoral. Or there was some, you know, unjust things going on. But he believed that basically the Roman Catholic Church was right. Luther, on the other hand, believed, no, I'm not worried about the morals. I know the church is immoral and I know it's unjust, but I'm gonna strike at the very heart of the Roman Catholic Church and say that it has the wrong teaching, not just the wrong life and the wrong fruit. So he was striking a deeper blow. Erasmus believed in love, Luther believed in truth. Now, what a big difference. In other words, love is a fruit of truth. Love is a fruit of truth. But Erasmus didn't care so much about the truth. He didn't even want to argue about it. Because he felt, even though the Bible was true, everybody's interpretation is different. Because he's a humanist. A humanist, I grew up among humanists. A humanist is someone who's very smart. Someone who's intellectual. Someone who believes, you know, well, just try to get along with everybody. And he's very intelligent and tried to live his life in a way that was nice to your neighbor and so on and so forth. He didn't really care about his sins being forgiven by Jesus, though he didn't argue with it. It wasn't a big deal to him. So he believed that a man could be saved by works. And Luther believed that a man could only be saved by faith. So it's a totally different deal. Here, man can do nothing. So faith alone. But over here, a man can do some things. Whatever he does might get a little favor out of God. But God doesn't pay a wage. God does not think man can do anything good. So Luther argued that man's will is bound. So he wrote a book about the bondage of the will. De servo arbitrium in Latin. So this means man's will, arbitrio. That means that the will is a slave. So on the bondage of the will. On the bondage of the will. So he wrote that man by his own free will cannot save himself. On the bondage of the will. Well, the other guy wrote a book on the freedom of the will. And he said, no, man without Jesus can actually be good. Now, it may not be enough to save you, but it might be enough for God to be gracious to you because you did the best you could. Do you remember? Does anyone remember that? Kind of, if man will do the best he can, then God will be kind to him and show him a little bit of mercy, and then he'll get saved. So he didn't believe you were saved by good works only, but he felt if you didn't do the good works, then God wouldn't show mercy to you, and then you couldn't have faith. So this one believed in the freedom of the will, and this is what made the modern world. So the world today is still arguing over the freedom of the will. In other words, can a man without total dependence on Jesus, the freedom of the will, or is the man's will bound so that you cannot please God or do anything worthwhile or good? Y'all following? The whole world is still arguing over this. And the reason I'm going back to it rather than moving on into the world of our own day, 20th century, 21st century, 19th, 18th, and 17th, is because nothing is new under the sun, and nothing has changed. And the argument they had has never been resolved. So Erasmus is a smart guy, and smart guys today are politicians, businessmen, and pastors. So the world today is being led by smart men. And I'm a smart person. I could match wits with smart people. But I've learned that smart is nothing. I don't believe in smart. I don't trust myself, and I don't trust other smart people. As a matter of fact, I despise them and myself insofar as I might rely upon my brains or my will or my emotions or anything. I don't trust myself. So I learned from Luther that man, apart from God, can do nothing. I mean nothing. And so I do not work on my marriage. I don't work on the church. I don't work on anything and just let it all fall apart. Because why? Because I believe that man can't do anything. Now, that doesn't mean I don't work. I work very hard, but I work hard for nothing. And it doesn't mean I'm not good, but I'm good for nothing. That was called a double entendre, which means good for nothing means I'm not good to get saved. I'm not good to get anything. I've already got everything. And the reason that I'm good, if I'm good at all, is because God, who is good, lives in me. And you know, he just does good things. And I don't give myself credit that I was good. If I do anything good, I know it's a miracle. I know it was God. I'm not capable of doing good. I don't try to do good. I don't even want to do good. I'm sorry, I don't. But God kind of does it anyway. And I will not go to heaven someday because I was good. Now, a lot of you are trying to be good, and that's your mistake. That's your problem, is you're not able to be good. If I were to ask, you know, don't raise your hand. If I was to ask, is anyone here a good wife trying to be a good wife, you know, or a good mother, or a good person? Even though you might say no because you know I don't count it. Even so, you do think of yourself as better than others. You do think of yourself as smarter than others. You do think of yourself as having some decency. Well, I don't. So this is a church where you can come and hear. That's why we're kind of naked, I think. Because a lot of people don't want to hear how bad you are. But I don't have any illusion about how wicked I am, how shallow I am, how stupid I am, and how weak I am. I have no problem with that at all. So anyone else like me? It's good. Well, there aren't many churches that teach that you're worthless. But God is great. And God only works with people that are ungodly, sinful, wicked, stupid, shallow, and hypocritical. That's the only group you'll work with. But you have to confess that to Him. There's God. Apart from you, I can do nothing. Now, you might think because of my track record that I'm not attracting a lot of people, but it's okay. I think that myself. I think that too. But I could save myself. I don't want to. I'll go down to the dregs before I'm not going to change. Because I believe you don't even know anything. You have no knowledge of what God is going to do and is doing right now throughout the whole world. And fortunately, a lot of people don't know how pitiful we look, but they hear tapes and so they don't even know. So they just think, oh, he must be a great. So a lot of people are being blessed in Russia. They're being blessed in India. They're being blessed in various, you know, places all over Africa and so on. It doesn't matter because they don't know. They don't know. Don't you think that's funny? I do. I think that's powerful. But actually, God has given us a huge worldwide ministry, but not many people are aware of it because they go by sight. But anyway, like Luther, I really don't care about who's got the majority or who's in the minority or, you know, whether you get paid or don't get paid. Or I don't care about all that. I only care about one thing, truth. Now, truth sets free. Love does not. Erasmus believed that love was the secret. And so he put all the authority of the modern world like our president does. Let's just all get along. Let's just love one another. Everybody be kind. Everybody, if you have a lot of money, give it up. Help the poor people out and so on. Well, I don't believe that. I believe if you give people something, they'll just waste it. They'll just waste it. You ever tried to help people? Every time you lose. I mean, and rarely does anyone ever benefit from the help you give them. Whenever you're kind, they won't return. They won't return kindness for kindness. They'll return hatred and evil for it. Don't you think that's funny? Has anyone discovered that? The more you love someone, the more hurt and pain you're going to receive. So, you know, that doesn't mean I'm going to stop. No, I don't mind suffering. I don't mind being hated. I don't mind being misunderstood. I don't mind being poor. I don't care. But you'd have to be a lover of God. That truth will set you free. Now, I'm going to win. I'm not going to lose. I've already won. I'm not even trying to win. I've already won. But you need to decide for yourself, have you already won? It's already over. You're already in heaven. I'm in heaven. Is everybody in heaven already? You know, because I am. Everything can fall apart from this moment on. I don't care. So I'm describing to you the modern world. And I'm not just another person in that modern world. Oh, that's all I am. But I'm also a prophet. And I'm prophesying and telling you, truth's going to win. Lies lose. Hatred loses. Pain, suffering, sorrow, tears, they're all going to lose. Only the glory of God and the truth of the Lord is going to win. So don't feel bad. Don't help me. Don't try to help this pitiful person. You know, Peggy's tried that for years. It doesn't work. Don't clean me up. Leave me be. Because God loves people just the way they are. And if anything good ever comes out of them, it's a complete miracle and surprise. But God does that. I don't know if any of you have experienced that. I'm telling you, the best is yet to come. The best is yet to come. And I don't like superficial wins anyway. I don't like to have what you call a victory when it's really not a victory. I could have 5,000 people in church. I don't want that. I could have it. I don't want it. I've been offered huge churches, you know, 1,000 member churches. You know, just come and do this and you can have it. I don't want it. I don't want man's best. Because what's good to man is not good to me. And what's evil to man, what's poor, what's wretched and worthless, that's what I like. Now, why am I upside down to the whole world? Because the whole world is upside down to God. So if you want to be right with God, you got to get with the truth, not with the love thing, because you can't pull off the love thing. Because love, the love that comes out of truth, that's a different kind of love than the one Erasmus was talking about. Now, Erasmus was very sophisticated. He grew up the illegitimate son of a priest and, you know, somebody else, kind of a daughter of somebody. And so he was, and then they died. Both of them died, very quickly. So the guy was an orphan, and he then became a monk, then he became a priest, then he became a professor, and pretty soon he was one of the most famous. In fact, he is the most famous man in the 16th century. Perhaps Luther's more. But they were both, Erasmus being 14 years older, he was the greatest humanist, and the modern world today is divided between Luther and truth, and between Erasmus and, you know, smartness, smart learning. Now, I grew up totally pagan, so I had neither. I was neither smart, you know, nor did I have any truth. I was completely just a wicked person. But I learned about the truth through Martin Luther. I learned about the truth, and I accepted it. And it messed my life up. And so I've been happy ever since. You know, I found the best thing is for me to lose my life than it is for me to be great and famous and smart and neat and at the top and so on. So I'm not sweating anything. Amen? I have the best marriage. I have the best church. I have the best of everything. Why? Because I don't look. I don't look. I just say it. God says it, I say it. Do y'all see that? Okay, so let's say you ask me, are you happy? Yes. Based on what? Nothing. I don't really care. I don't need anything. I don't need to be understood. I don't need to be liked. I don't need to be favored. I don't need anything to be happy. Happy is the man that trusts in the Lord. That's me. So trust and truth is what I have. I totally believe that man is no good, that he has a bondage of the will, which means you cannot do anything to please God. The only thing you can do is sin. So the natural man, apart from God, the natural man can only do evil and wickedness all the days of his life. So when I go to heaven someday, which I'm going, but I'm not going because I was smart or good. I'm going because I was dumb and stupid and evil. But I believed in Jesus, who was all my smarts and all my goods. So that's the only reason I'm going to make it. And is there anyone else that is radical like I am? I'm telling you, it is so powerful. Now, you might think no one's going to buy this. I mean, obviously, a lot of people don't want to hear it. But they will. Sooner or later, people will understand this is the truth that'll set you free. So I don't need to see it to believe it. If I drop dead on the spot right now, I'm totally happy. I don't need to know whether this message will go or not. I guarantee you it'll go. I guarantee you that someday it'll fill the earth. And right now, the whole earth is being reaped. But it isn't over. Just because people are being born again, that's only the beginning. This message is all the way to the end. That every man be mature in Christ. And that the bride be without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. Now, am I going to make that happen? Nah. I probably won't even be here when it happens. But I'm going to declare it, and then we're going to do it, not in our own power, but by the power of the Holy Spirit, and then let God Let God get all the glory. Let God get all the whatever. Might be somebody here that'll finish what I started. Josh, you might do it. You might do it. You might do it because you're unlikely. And because you're unlikely, you probably wouldn't take a lot of credit for it. If it happened, you'd probably know it was God. And that's how it works. You have to know. Do we have a new baby? Let's see that baby. Is it seeable? This is a brand new baby. Rachel Isabel. Powerful. Powerful. All right, here's this baby. Woohoo. Soft and delicate. Teeny weeny. Woohoo! Hi, baby. That's Rachel. Rachel in the Hebrew. Rachel. So, Rachel, precious. It's a beautiful name. Well, God is good. I want you to know God is good and He's the only one that's good. Now, do not go by your eyes. I don't know how to teach you this, but since we're so small, it doesn't matter. I can hardly ruin what little we have left. Don't worry about it. We're going to have, 500 people in this place. It's nothing. What you want is truth. What you want is truth. Truth is never public. I'm just going to tell you right now. Anything that's public is not truth. Truth is only found... Hi, Mom. Truth is only found in house churches. It's not found in one of these places. What I'm declaring to you today here is the truth, but it doesn't mean everybody's going to believe it and follow it and buy it. So this is just, we just sound it out. We just tell the good news. But you cannot on your own believe it. Say, well, I think I'll believe that. You can't. You either do or you don't. You hear it and you either do believe it or you don't believe it. But nobody can talk you into it. Nobody can preach in such a way, oh, that preacher is so good. Uh-uh. It's just the Holy Spirit. Two people can be sitting in church. One hears it, the other doesn't. It isn't the preacher. It isn't the one that's sharing it. It's only the Holy Spirit for whatever reason. Now, there is, however, a way to prepare, but you can't do it. The way to prepare is to admit you're no good. But you can't do that because most of you, even if you said you were no good, you still think you're better than some other person. You know you are. You know you're not as dumb as some other person. How many know you're not as dumb and as evil and as stupid as somebody else? I mean, you just know that. You can just look, there are pitiful people out there. You say, you are so pitiful. But you don't say it, but it's what you think. Thank God I'm not stupid like that person. Yeah, but you are. And you just proved it by saying that. How many know none is good? Only God is good. Now, if you get a hold of that, it'll set you free. That's the truth that'll set you free, is that apart from Him, you can do nothing. But in Him, through Him, well, you can do all things. If you get a hold of that, you'll save your marriages. I can guarantee you that I've saved hundreds of marriages. So if that was a good work, I'd get credit for it. But it's not a good work. I was doing my job. It's doing whatever I'm supposed to do. And you just tell people whatever you tell them. And, whatever happens. But I can guarantee you over in Dallas, I can guarantee there's at least 50 families that would be divorced today, except for my ministry. At least. Probably many, many more than that. But at least I know them personally, 50. And every one of them would say, if you hadn't shared with us, well, I didn't do anything. I just say what I say. I just get paid to say it. But I don't care about that either. I'm just simply saying the best is yet to come. You got to get a hold of this. Don't listen to it and think. A lot of you, I can tell you, thinking. Thinking won't help. It's not your will. It's not your intellect. It's not your desire. It's none of those things. It's certainly not your emotion. Pastors that are popular today and famous and have several thousand people, they are good talkers. And they stir the emotions. They do things that stir the emotions. So if I wanted to do it, I could do it. I know how to do it. I know how to stir the emotions. And all you have to do is, talk real loud, And God said, and I tell you, people are just excited. You know, they just, whoa, that was God. But it isn't. That's just, you know, that's just advertising. That's just emotion. But I don't want to do any of that stuff. I don't want to wear the right diamond stick pin or, you know, comb my hair correct or anything. So how will mine ever go anywhere? It's pathetic. I'll even say things that are offensive. Has anyone noticed that I'll do that? It just comes out. it comes out. Because I'm not impressed with myself. I'm impressed with Jesus. I'm impressed with Jesus. And that's what Luther did. And he saw that Erasmus was joking. He saw that Erasmus, like so many intellectual people, are just fooling around. So, he said to him after reading his little book against him, because the Catholic Pope and the Emperor and, you know, all kinds of people told Erasmus, they're going to call you a Lutheran. Attack Luther. That'll prove you're not. He said, I don't really want to. Luther's, you know, we're both for the reform of the church. We're both trying to help the church. We're just doing it differently. I know. So put that down, that his is wrong. And they forced him to do it. And he said, I did not want to do it. I could read you all his writings. I could read you exactly what he said. He said, I don't want to do it. But they forced me to it. Nobody forces you to do anything. He just didn't want to suffer. Because some people are like Erasmus. They want to be well-liked. So it's easy to put down Luther. Because other people already said, you know, he's a Hussite, or he's a Wycliffeite, or, you know, he's for the Bible or something. And so he thought, I could attack him easily. And he figured out exactly what Luther's weak spot was. Luther thinks that man can do nothing and that God does everything. Ha! He gives man no credit for doing something. I mean, after all, you can just feel it in your bones. There's something I can do today that's wrong, and there's something today I can do that's right. You're wrong. There is something you can do today. Anything you do is wrong. That's it. And if it were right, it wouldn't be you. If anything good happens, that would be God. And if anything evil happens, that was you. So you can tell that's a little radical view. And the Roman Catholic Church would fall apart if they believed that. So Erasmus was the savior of the Roman Catholic Church. And Luther was the destroyer. Because he said, the Roman Catholic Church is teaching good works as though good works could get you to heaven. Or as though good works could purchase for you the mercy of God. That God will be merciful to you because you were kind and you were nice and you were friendly and you were this and that. And Luther said, I don't buy it. Now, he based it upon the Word of God, which I'm going to read right now. I'm going to read to you the Bible where Erasmus read the same Bible. As a matter of fact, Erasmus in 1516, he wrote the first serious Greek New Testament. So he wrote it in Greek. And Luther then read that in 1517 and nailed the 95 theses the next year on the castle door. So Erasmus laid the egg and Luther hatched it. And Erasmus knew that. He knew that Luther is going to reform the church like me. So he was excited. But the Pope forced him. In fact, Adrian VI, who was the Pope after Leo X, Adrian said, hey, Erasmus, you and I went to school together. Now I'm the Pope, and you are the most learned man in all of Europe. And this German monk, he's just attacking us. Attack him back. I don't want to. Erasmus, you want to be well-liked, don't you? Yeah. Okay. Use your scholarship, then, to defend our policies. Attack the guy. Oh, a lot of what he says is good. It doesn't matter. Attack him anyway. Because he's attacking us. He's attacking the very foundation. He's not just like you. You just think the church is moral. But he thinks it's theological. He thinks, I say, Erasmus says, well, I'm not arguing with the church. I'm only arguing with some drunken monks and people that are doing wrong. But Luther is saying, no, everything you do is wrong. Unless it's rotten God. He was attacking the whole church, just shaking it from the foundation. This made the modern world. That's what made the modern world. The world today would not be the world today, except for these two men arguing. And one of them's right, and one of them wrong. But Erasmus felt we can both be right. How many know that that's the way intelligent people look at life? Well, of course, yes, on the one hand, you have a point there, but on the other hand, and so I, who have lots of education, I learned how to do that. Yes, on the one hand, but of course, no, on the other hand. But then, of course, if you look at it from this point of view, but then, of course, and that's letting your yes be yes and your no be no, which Jesus said, but a smart man can say no and yes at the same time. I know how to do that. I know how to be dialectic. That means how to say two things out of my mouth at the same time and fool people. Did you know I was trained that way? That's my training. My background is how to be a liar, but pretend like I'm telling the truth. Know exactly how to do it. So Erasmus did not want to argue with this German boorish monk, because he himself had been a monk. In fact, they had similar backgrounds, monk, priest, teacher, same. So he hated, in fact, they were both Augustinian. They both had the same teachers. So he hated to attack him, but because he wanted to be loved, he believed in love. Love, 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 let's all get along. It's Obama's approach, and I'm not attacking Obama. I'm just explaining. Let's all get along. Let's get along with the bad guys and the good guys and make a happy world, and we'll all have the same amount of money, and we'll all so on. Yeah, I don't believe in that. That's a lie. But still, if you start with that idea, you're not going to end up with truth. You're going to end up with love is the only truth, but it's not a truth at all. Love is wide, but truth is narrow. It's either true or it's false. Well, Erasmus hated that. No, there's points on this side and points on that side. Let's see if I can't win Luther over with my, you know, lightheartedness, my, let's just play. How many know that smart people can play with you? You listen to a politician and you are never sure after they're done whether they said this or that. Now, did he say, is he for us or against us? You cannot figure it out. A politician can lie in such a way you can't figure out what he just said, even though he just said it. You don't know. What's he doing? Has anybody figured that out? That's why a lot of people don't vote, because they figure, geez, I have no idea what's being said here. And they'll write all the laws locally here, or in the state, or in the nation. They'll write them in such a way that not such and such and such and such, never not, and have double negatives in it, so you're not really sure. Now, if I say not, am I saying yes or no? You don't even know. This bond is not to da-da-da-da-da-da, and then you don't know exactly what it is to do because they put a couple of knots in there. And so you just vote for it because they write it deliberately that way. Lawyers are trained that way to write with all kinds of negatives so that you can't really state it in a simple, without teeth, clear, unambiguous way. Isn't that interesting? Because all the politicians want is the ability to say no when they want to say no. So they write things in such a way that if they want to let you in, they can, and if they don't want you, they don't have to. But you'll never figure that out. You don't even know. Anyway, it's not important. That's good. You really want to know.
I dare you.
Yeah, right. Everything is written to steal everything you've got, kill, steal, and destroy. But it's written in such a way that you can't even tell you're being stolen from, killed, and destroyed. And I'm a wordsmith. I'm a wordsmith, meaning I know how to use words. I understand. I can read Erasmus, understand him in a minute. I can read Luther, understand him right away. Why? Not because I'm smart, but because I want to know the truth. And when you want to know the truth, you press in. So I have to learn Latin, if I have to learn Greek, if I have to learn Hebrew, if I have to learn, I don't care what it is, I'm going to learn. Why? Because I like to get to the bottom of everything. Why? Because I was a liar. And liars lie so much that they sometimes forget what lies they made. And that was me. And I had to remember. Now, how did I lie to that person last time? I got to remember my lies. And in order to keep deceiving people, you have to keep lying to them. Well, this is a much easier life being a Christian. You just tell the truth. It's much easier. Just be blunt. Just be clear. But then people will hate you. When you're clear, people will hate you. They won't love you for that. They'll respect you and admire you personally, but they'll hate you publicly. In other words, when someone is clear, they're going to kill you. They have to. So that's why I love that. I want to be killed. I'm going to be killed. But when you're clear, people now know what you said. And Luther was like that. It's kind of like Adolf Hitler. Remember Adolf Hitler? The guy was real clear. I will take over the world! And he meant it. He actually meant it. But if an Englishman said that, he'd be a liar. But the Germans, they don't lie. They just tell you the truth. No, and I'm going to destroy all this and that. It's just very clear. They don't have any ability to hide. So, Erasmus said, I can take this guy on. And Luther said, du bist nicht fromm. You're not serious. You're not real. Du bist nicht fromm. This guy's writing like, you know, playing a game. I want to know the truth. He wants to play games. So Luther nailed this guy from the beginning. He saw him right away. You're one of these Catholic game players. You know, a humanist. Man is the measure of all things. So this is what you learn at TCU. This is what you learn at SMU. This is what you learn at all the U's. Anywhere in the world where you go, all the professors are liberal. They're Erasmians. No matter what they are. You go to college. Has anybody here ever gone to college? You go to college, you will come out totally confused. Because they are masters at double-mindedness. They are dialecticians, rhetoricians. They play with words, philologists. And they know how to deceive the, or brainwash the young. So you might come with a faith, but you'll leave without a faith. Now, I went to seminary at the most liberal school in the world. And I didn't have a faith, whereas everybody else came with a faith, and they lost theirs, and I picked up what they threw away. When I went to seminary, I had no faith, didn't believe in God, didn't believe in morality, didn't believe in anything except me. But when I left, they didn't believe in God, but I did. Because I was, you know, going through the trash can. Hey, what you throwing all this stuff away for? We don't believe in that anymore. Really? I'll look at this. Yeah. And I picked it up and I became a Christian. Now, I didn't try to become a Christian. God just attacked me through that little garbage can that I was going through. Get a hold of me. And I didn't want to be a Christian at all. Everybody else wanted to be. They couldn't keep it. After they learned all these intelligent things, they lost their faith. Now, you have to understand, everybody that's on television today, they're all schooled in the dialectic. I am schooled in the highest form of processing, meaning I know how to manipulate and brainwash people. I know how to do it. I'm trained in it. I mean, you don't have to try. You just go, and that's what they teach you, how to be double. But I ruined their program because I was supposed to be a liar like them. But I wanted to know about Jesus. I told you what happened to me. And so it ruined. They lost one of their customers. They lost one of their clients. Because I wanted to know about Jesus. I wanted to be like Luther. And so that ruined me. That ruined me. And I told you, John Calvin, though he was a Christian, he was actually a follower of Erasmus. And he admired Erasmus his whole life. As did Luther's best friend, Melanchthon. And so the Lutheran church today is not Lutheran, it's Melanchthonian. In other words, they're more in favor of this smart guy over here, who's for love, than they are for truth. Because truth is narrow, but love is broad. In other words, truth is, it's right or it's wrong. Jesus either is God or he's not. That's truth. Whereas they're into, well, you know, some people say this, some people say that. It's always trained. So I know exactly how to divide and conquer through words, through cleverness. But once I met Jesus, that was over. I didn't like to give my personal testimony all the time, but it's clear to me because I lived it. I'm not talking about something I didn't live. I was the wicked sinner the Bible's talking about. So let's read it. Let's read what the Bible says. See how far you can go without Jesus. And see, for me, these are not words, even though these are words, and for most intelligent people, they can blow these off. I didn't. What advantage then has the Jew? Romans chapter 3, verse 1. Of what profit is there of circumcision? Much in every way, chiefly because to them, the Jews, were committed the oracles of God. But what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? God forbid. Yea, let God be true, and every man a liar. So there it is. God is true, every man is a liar. How many could testify to that? I'm a liar. Say it. I'm a liar. I know that wasn't everybody. Okay. I'm a liar, but God is true. No, that is hard to swallow, because most of us want to think, well, no, I tell the truth. You do not. You're very statement you just made, you're a liar right there. You don't even know what you're just saying it. No, God is the only one that's true. That's the only truth, which is you can do nothing and God does everything. And we don't want to hear that. We don't want to hear that this is the case. So we want to hear some lie somewhere. So all over here, Luther called this man a liar. And he called Luther a liar. But Luther was the one who believed that truth was that it had to be by faith alone and not by works of man. So he believed in the bondage of the will, that man can do nothing to save himself. The only reason that you will ever go to heaven, the only reason you'll ever go to heaven is because God loves you. God's love, not man doing love, but God's love is what saves you. Because God loves you, and he only loves sinners. You absolutely have to be a sinner, or you'll never understand the love of God. So now let's say it again. I'm a liar. But God is true. That's what Paul just said. So I'm just reading from Paul, and I believe Paul spoke by the Holy Spirit. That you might be justified, God, in your sayings, and might overcome them when you are judged by them. So when man judges God and says, I told the truth, then God says, no, you didn't. You're a liar. But if our unrighteousness commends the righteousness of God, in other words, because we're unrighteous, God has decided not to be unrighteous to us. What shall we say? Is God unrighteous who takes vengeance? Okay, so if God, who is truth, if God, who is truth, wants to condemn the wicked, is he allowed to do it? How many say that God can condemn wicked people? Send them to hell. Yeah, he can do it. But what if he wants to? What if he wants to? He doesn't have to, but he wants to show mercy to wicked people. Is he allowed to? Yeah. So that right there is the whole issue. Is this guy would say, no, man can obligate God. No, you can't. I did something good, pay me. And God says, oh no, you never did anything good. Here is all your goodness right here. I killed it. And here is all your goodness right here. I showed mercy. So judgment and mercy are kissed right there on that cross. I just X'd you out, and I just then saved you. The one I X'd out is the one I saved. I killed Jesus for your sins, and I sent Jesus for your salvation. Do y'all see that? This is very hard to get a hold of, but even though it's irrelevant to today's world, nobody in the world cares about what I just said. I totally care, and I'm right, and they're all wrong. So the whole world is wrong. Now, you have to be very bold. It just proves that you are free. You see, when God loves you, all of a sudden you're free. Now, our impact on this world is zero if we don't get a hold of this truth. No, just the fact that you're a Christian means nothing. That's just how you begin. Being born again, that's just the beginning. Then you have to let the Holy Spirit kill your old man. Then you have to let the Holy Spirit lead you in the new person. That's why the president is frustrated today. I could help him out. Why? Because he wants to change society, but you can't start with society. And he knows that. I'm certain he knows it. But still, he has to do the best he can, and he's going to be frustrated. He's going to be frustrated. His own followers are going to be mad at him. Because he's not going to be able to please anybody. And he's trying to please everybody, but you can't. But that's his job. I'm president of the whole United States. It's tough. George Bush didn't try as hard because he knew, hey, I don't think I can please everybody. I'll just do what I do. But this one's going to try. Hey, I'm going to try to please everybody. I'll try to please my own party if I can. Then I'll try to please the other people. Well, that's great. Only it's not going to work. And he knows it. He knows it. He's the fall guy for it. He knows it. He knows they gave him a job that he could never do. So let's help him. How could we do that? Forget him. Forget government. The church is the problem, not the government. The government is only a fruit of the church. Get the church right, you'll get the government right. Get the church wrong, you'll get the government wrong. Well, the church is wrong. It isn't the government that's wrong. That's a symptom of the cause. And where's the cause? It's us. But you said, Pastor, we can't do anything. That's right. And that's exactly where the church must be, is do nothing. When you can do nothing, then God can do everything. But as long as you do something, God will not do anything. He'll just wait till you're done. Are you done? He's just saying, are you done yet? Well, no, I'm helping you out a little bit. Okay, well, go ahead and help me out. You know, and when you get into such thick stuff that you can't move, then I'll come and offer you again help. Well, if you can just get me out of this thick stuff. No, I'm not, because you'll get right back in it. I mean, we haven't learned our lesson yet. You haven't learned that you are worthless. You are evil. I tell you, why our family works good, Peggy and I work good together as man and wife. Why? Because she's evil and I'm evil. We both admit it. But with Jesus, there's hope. Two evil people can work together fine if there's Jesus. That's all. You just have to be equal. Peggy's always equal to me. When she's wicked, I'm equally wicked. When I'm wicked, she's equally wicked. Do you see that? There's no goodness in Peggy, and there's no goodness in me. And the longer we live, how long have we been married now? 45 years. The longer you live together with somebody, the more sin they sin. Yes, that's the truth. The longer you live, the more you see how wicked people are, and yourself included. But it'll work if you discount that. I just discount it. When Peggy is wicked, I just discount it. She doesn't know what she's doing. She's trying to say, I love you, and she just didn't know how to say it. Amen? So she can tell you, I'll interpret whatever she says in a way that's favorable to me. Oh, she meant to say, I love you, Jim. You're the best. The fact that she said other words, I just discount those. I didn't know how to talk right. Do y'all understand that? So you can sin any sin against me that you wish. I'll forgive you ahead of time. You don't even need to find out if I forgive you. Just forget it. Because Jesus has forgiven all my sins. So I'm the same. How could I hold it against you? How could I hold anything against you? I've been forgiven so much. I don't even think about you. You're not even that important. Your sins against me are so insignificant compared to mine. Whew. So keeping your eyes on Jesus the whole time, that's what's going to set you free. And I guarantee you this. When I hear God someday, he's going to say to me, well done, good and faithful servant. He is. He's going to come down and give me a big hug. I loved you so much. And he's going to take me right to heaven, see? And why? Because I was wicked. But he likes me. Why? Because I know I was wicked and I admitted it. I said, God, I can't do anything. I'm completely helpless. Now, here's what you don't understand. The natural man, write this down. You ought to write it down. It's good stuff. The natural man can only sin. That's what it means to be a bonded will. My will cannot do anything. I can never will to do the right thing. I can never want to do the right thing. Well, the Greeks thought, well, if man knew what was right, he might do it. Wrong. Greeks are wrong. How stupid can the Greeks be? They're supposed to be wise, stupid. Socrates thought that. Plato thought that. Man's problem is not, you know, his ability to will it. His problem is he doesn't know what it is. But if he knew what it is, he'd want to do it, and then he'd be able to do it. I deny all three. First, I deny that man could do it, that he knows what's right, that he'd want to do it if he did, and that he'd be able to do it if he did. Not. I want to do it. I just didn't do it. I don't know. I don't believe it. You never wanted to do it. You never did do it. You didn't know what it was, and you're not even able to do it. That's called total bondage of the will. This will destroy the university I came from. I'm sure they were happy when I graduated. You know, is go. But I am the best fruit of that whole university system. Now, Martin Luther is the guy, I just told you, he is the one that created the modern world, but his enemy is right there. And yet they're very close. He's a Christian. That guy Erasmus is a Christian. He believes in love. How can that be wrong? Because love has to be based on truth. The truth is, you can't love. And Erasmus said you could. Liar. It's not what Scripture says. So he's a liar. So Erasmus, smartest man in the 16th century, most beloved man of the 16th century, is in deep trouble. And he didn't even want to write against him. He knew he was up against a German. Du bist nicht fromm. You are not serious. That was Luther. When Luther saw the guy, he saw he was playing. Now, let me read a little bit more out of Scripture, then I'll read what he actually wrote. You need to hear the guy. Now listen to this. This is Scripture. Romans chapter 3, verse 6. God forbid, how then would God judge the world? 7. For if the truth of God has more abounded through my lie to his glory, why am I then judged as a sinner? And not rather, as we'd be slanderous reported, as some say, let's do evil so that good may come. That's not what I'm saying, Paul said. I'm not saying let's do evil. I'm saying you can only do evil. I'm saying let's do evil. I don't have to say to you, all right, here, I could say to you, all right, I want everyone to go out and sin. I don't need to say it. You'll do it anyway. Even if you're born again, even if you're filled with the Spirit, it doesn't mean anything. You cannot do anything. Remember there were some guys that said to him on the last day, Lord, Lord, we did mighty works in your name. Depart from me, you evildoer. No, we cast out demons. We saved thousands of people. Depart from me, you evildoer. Why did Jesus say that? Because man is not capable of doing good works, even if he's a faith man. You did not do those works, God did. Apart from me, you can do nothing. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. It's not me doing it. It's no longer I that live, but Christ liveth in me. And the life I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who died and gave himself for me. All your righteousness, the Bible says, is a filthy rag. Man at his best state is altogether vanity. That's Old Testament. Now, Paul is quoting the Old Testament and the New Testament here, writing down truths based on the Old. What then? Are we better than they? No, in no wise. For we have before proved, both Jews and Gentiles, all are sinful. They're all under sin. As it is written, there's none righteous, no, not even one. There's none that understands. That means you don't even have any understanding. You don't even know what good and evil is. There is none that seeks after God. That means nobody's seeking after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are all become unprofitable. There's none that doeth good. No, not one. Their throat is an open sepulcher. Their tongues, they have used deceit. Poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to do blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways. The way of peace they have not known. There's no fear of God before their eyes. Now we know, Paul says, that whatever the law saith, it says to them that are under it, so that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore we conclude, by the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is only one thing, knowledge of sin. So you see, this is why we teach what we teach, is that there's no good in you. Why do we teach that? To discourage you? Yes, to discourage you, but not to discourage Christ in you. Your new man is Christ in you, not you. So if anything good comes, you don't get any credit. You don't get any credit. You didn't do the wrong thing or the right thing. Everything you do is wrong. Only God does good. Only God is good. None is good but God. No one is good but God. No one. No one. That means you. You're one of the no ones. How many see, this is so powerful, and I've taught it for 35, 40, whatever, we've been married 45 years. It doesn't make any difference. People still can't hear it. They'll hear it and immediately translate it. Because you know you're good. You know it. You've tried so hard when you were 4 years old. You've been struggling so hard to be good. You just can't accept what God just said, is that only God is good. If only God is good, then you're not good. And if you see any good coming out of you, it wasn't you. It wasn't you. He had to kill you to get that out of you. Y'all see that? The only way that good comes out of us is when he kills you and kills your pride and kills your confidence and kills all of your self-worth. The world today is suffering because this message is not being preached. Now, if I were the only man alive, and I'm not, but if I were the only man alive, I'd still win. This gospel will be preached, and people will live it, because God's coming back for a bride, and he's going to have just exactly what he expected. He's going to have a bride without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. How many know that God always wins? He never loses. It isn't like the devil will win a little bit, and God will lose, you know, win a lot. He's going to win everything. It winner take all. God, it's a zero-sum game. If Satan wins anything, God loses. Remember Jesus said, I lost not one? That's amazing. You know that I've never lost any? I'm not going to lose any. Anyone that's been given to me, I'll keep. But you can see a lot of people come for a while and they take off. No problem. I don't know if they're mine or not. I mean, they might come back, for all I know. But I'm not going to run after them. Let them go. Let them do what they want to do. Because I can't lose what's been given to me, but I don't have what wasn't. And even though it may appear to be, if Peggy isn't given to me as a wife, I could do nothing to please her. You cannot please a woman. I don't know if anybody, is there any man here who's ever learned that? You cannot please a woman. Is there any man here? Let's have a show of hands. You cannot please a woman. You cannot. In fact, it's evil to do so. Please only God. You can't please God. He's already pleased with you. You could sin against him all day long. He's still pleased with you. He hates what you do, but he loves you. God does not want you to do good works. God does not want you to do the good works. That would be an effort. That would be striving. That would be work. That would be sweat. He doesn't want that. Here's what he wants. Praise, thanksgiving, adoration. Why? Because he's done it all. It's a free gift. It's a free gift. Now, I read you enough scripture. I could read on and on. The whole third chapter is all very powerful. All about you're saved by faith and not by works. Now, listen to Erasmus. This guy Erasmus is good. I like Erasmus. I like Erasmus. Let's see. What will we start with here? Here's his definition of free will. By free will, we understand in this connection, see how smart he is, the power of the human will whereby man can apply to or turn away from that which leads to eternal salvation. So he thought a man could do something to get it or something to lose it. No, there's nothing you can do to lose it. If you're born, you're going to die. You're going to go to hell. Anybody that's born is going to go to hell. Anybody that's born is going to go to hell. The only ones that will not go to hell are those that are born again, which you had nothing to do with. So everybody that's born, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So everybody that's born is going straight to hell. So it would behoove you not to sweat it. Just find out if God said another word. That's his first word. You sin, you die. Law of sin and death. Can you see that? I mean, get that down, because then you'll be very appreciative. I mean, it brings out passion, fire. That's what Luther was saying. Du bist nicht fromm. You have no fire. Well, Luther had fire. And Erasmus knew it. He said, you are fiery. Because Erasmus just writing, you know, kind of, you know, like the newspaper writers, you know, just writing little tidbits here and making ironic jokes and so on. Not Luther. Dead on. German. Straight to the core of it. And so, because Luther was crazy like that. Du bist ein Dummkopf. You are stupid. But he wasn't. He was actually very smart. Luther knew all the languages also. He was brilliant. In fact, he was a much better, in fact, Erasmus admits it. Though he's 14 years older and smarter in the world's eyes, he admitted it. Luther is a greater theologian. He knows more of the fathers and so on. I hardly bother. I read Plato. He won't. But Luther already read Plato. It isn't that he won't read it. He already read it. He already read Aristotle. He already devoured all that and threw it out in the trash can. And Erasmus went, picked it up. The church today would rather be full of philosophy and psychology and so on. We don't believe in psychology. Psychology is witchcraft. Somebody goes to a psychologist or a social worker or whatever. It's garbage. Satan. Why? Because only God is your help. And when you turn to a man, you are going to be deceived and taken and enslaved. Now, I said something very powerful. Because the whole world today is looking for freebies. They're looking for somebody to help them. Help! Could you please help me? Give me some medicine. Give me some psychological training and da-da-da-da. Pastor, will you please hold my hand? No. Well, Pastor, I'm suffering. Good. Good. Until you die out and recognize you don't need help, you need forgiveness. I'm going to say it again. You don't need help, you need forgiveness. You don't need help, you need forgiveness. No! I need help! If you could just help me, please, help me. You're a wicked sinner. Whoa! Oh! And so people don't want to admit that your biggest need is that you're wicked even after being born again. You still want to get glory. Is there anybody here that can deny it? No, I'm a Christian. I'm humble. I just want to please God. No, you don't. There's nobody here that wants to do that. Now, the fire of Luther is also my fire. I'm full of fire. I don't care if I live or die. That's fire. Erasmus did care. He wanted fine homes. He wanted big reputation. He wanted to get the finest posts. And he got them. He was always rewarded for what he did. I'm not looking for that. If I am looking for it, I messed up. Because I threw it all away years ago. Do y'all understand? You don't. But I tell you, when you meet Jesus, you don't care. You're in love. You could lose your family. So be it. You could lose your life. So be it. Health. So be it. Money. So be it. Reputation. So be it. It's all for the surpassing worth of knowing Jesus Christ. You have to know who you are to say that. You have to know that there's nothing good dwelleth in man. I do. I know it. And if I didn't know it, Peggy would tell me. She would be quick to tell me. Peg, as far as I know, I'm perfect. Do you see any flaws? She knows all my sins. I can't even remember them all. I don't even need to go to God. I can go straight to Peggy. Peg, do you see any wicked way in me? She's just ready to oblige. I don't even have to help her, you know? Don't even have to prime the pump. But if I were to say to Peggy, Peggy, are you a sinner? Yes. Like what? I don't know. I can't think of any. And if I came up with one, she'd justify it. What about the other day when you didn't, bring me some banana when I was in bed, you know, whatever. She'd say, well, I didn't like you that day, you know. I say, see, that's a sin. No, it's not, because you're a mean person. You deserved it. You know, she could justify anything. And you know what? She's right. She's right. I do deserve everything ill. But God likes me. And that overcomes. You see that? That's why it's perfect. Do y'all have this? Am I radical? Yes. Am I extreme? Yes. But I happen to think those are the kind God's looking for. Because if you try not to be like that, you try to be like Erasmus, you're not going to end up with happiness. You're going to end up in misery. Try to get this world. Try to win. Try to get the American dream or whatever it is you're looking for. Try to get a perfect family. Try to get perfect health. Try to get perfect anything. You're not going to get it. It's not here. This is not the Garden of Eden. Chapter 1, Bible. Adam and Eve kicked out. Out of paradise. Chapter 2, misery. And the rest of the whole Bible is all about misery. Here's what happens when you're not right with God. He only wants perfect. Out! I saw a sin. You ate an apple. One of my apples. Who ate this apple? You should have at least thrown the core in the garbage. You're out of my garden now. So God threw him out. That's the first story in the book, is mankind cannot be good. How many know that if you were Adam and Eve, you wouldn't have sinned? How many know you're a little smarter than them? Especially after reading it. I mean, especially after reading the story of how they got booted out for just eating an apple core. You know, you should then at least go, if you give me another chance, I'll prove I won't do it. That's like saying I lived at the time of Jesus and I didn't kill him. That's like saying I'm alive today and I wouldn't kill him if he were here. No. You have no good in you except when God kills you, that's when you're good. It's like a little child that's running around being a menace all day long, and then when they're sleeping, you go and look at them and go, isn't she sweet? Yes, because she's sleeping. People are always look nice when they're sleeping. You know, even criminals, I'm sure, look nice when they're sleeping. Yes, he looks so sweet right there. Do you all understand? Now, though you are wicked to the hilt, Jesus Christ came and took all your punishment for all mankind, from Adam all the way to the last man, and it's all paid for. You've been prepaid to go into heaven. I'm taking it. I'm taking it. And the reason I'm going to take it is because I was telling you before, I didn't finish it. Number one, everybody's sinned. Everybody's a rebel. Everybody said, God wants me to be perfect, but I'm not going to be. How many know there's not one person that has grown up saying, I'm going to be perfect? No. Everybody immediately messes up. When you're one and a half, you're already messing up. You're already messing up. Give me that. And if you try to tie a child like that down, they'll bite you. They little kids can be rough. Has anybody discovered that? Hey, I said, you get over here. They're rebels. Have you ever noticed that with little kids? Does anybody notice that? Little kids, as sweet as they look when they're asleep, when you wake them up, they're full of fire. They're going to go their own way. And you have to beat them to a pulp to slow them down. Hey, when we go into that store, you do not run around. And no cans knocked off today either. And they just go through there. They love that. I mean, I was in a store yesterday, and there was this lady, and she had a couple of little girls were real small. And they were picking up everything, they were just grabbing everything. And the mom wasn't paying attention, she was just doing her thing. But the older daughter was saying, don't touch that. Do not touch that. And I noticed the little girl wasn't paying any attention. She was just looking right at her and then go pick up another thing. So I came up and tried to help out. I said, she's not obeying you. The girl looked up at me like, who are you? She isn't obeying you. And the little kid, she didn't care. Because kids are just going to do what they want to do. Did you know that adults are like that too? Did you know that adults are the same? Church members are the same. Christians are the same. There aren't any good people. Amen? So that's why I love this church. Because we have all sinners. We have 100% sinners in this church. Even though you're called a saint, you still sin. Does anybody notice that? You're a saint, but you're actually a sinner. Same time you're a saint, you're a sinner. But the reason you're a saint is because you believe in Jesus. The reason you're a sinner is because that's you apart from Him. But He's not going to count your works anyway. I don't count them. I don't count. When I sin, I don't count it. Peg does. He counts it. Peg, you still count that sin? Yes, I'm going to count that one. She has a tablet. She actually does. She carries a tablet around and puts down the things that I do. No, I'll get a full report after this message. You should not have done it like that. This is the way you should have done it. It's wonderful. Suzanne, you should be glad your husband's not a minister. Because he'd just get bawled out. Now, who's right, Luther or Erasmus? This is the battle of the world today. Is there authority in love or is there authority in truth? Luther said truth. Erasmus said love. And today, communism is fighting over it. Everything in the world is fighting over it. Is Jesus Christ the only truth? Or could you have truth apart from Him? Plato thought so. Erasmus thought so. No. You cannot have truth except in Jesus. Jesus said, I am the truth. I don't just do true things. I don't just say true things. I am truth. It's pretty amazing. It's a person. So when you go to a college like I went to, it has two words in Latin. Lux et veritas. Light and truth. But Jesus said, I am the light. I am the truth. And yet here at Yale, at Harvard, at TCU, they're not after truth and light. They're not after that truth and light. They believe you could have an enlightenment without Jesus. That you could have truth without Jesus. I don't. I think the only truth there is Jesus. And, I mean, I have all their truth. It isn't like I don't know their truth. It isn't that I don't know their truth. It isn't that I don't know it. It's that I don't believe it. Because I once did. That's one way to find out if people are liars or not. Believe them, then you find out. Oh, I trusted my husband, and look what he did. Well, really? Well, you're wicked then, because you trusted him. You should never have trusted him. You're supposed to put your trust in the Lord, not trust in man. You see, you did wrong. No, he did wrong. He said he loved me and he lied. Well, I know, but you did wrong because you trusted him. You should never have believed him. Isn't that beautiful? You're not laughing. You don't see the humor of that. Did you ever trust a man? How many women ever trusted a man? They're not trustworthy. I guarantee you, there's no woman in the world that's ever trusted a man and then felt like, yeah, I was glad I trusted him. No, you better put your trust in the Lord and not in man. So it's your sin. It's your fault. And there's many a man that's trusted a woman. How foolish can you be? How foolish can you be? I don't trust Peggy. I told her the day we got married, Peg. Actually, probably wasn't the first day. It was probably after the honeymoon. And I said to her, here's what you do to please me. I just want you to know right away, because I want you to know what the rules are. 6 o'clock, you're up. You cook breakfast. Come and get me about 7-ish. I'll smell the bacon or whatever it is, you know. And then I'll get up and I'll eat. And then you have the, you know, have everything ready. Have the house tidied up. And then when I wake up, it'll be like that. Now that would be a good wife. How many know that's a good wife? Well, she didn't do it. So I thought, well, maybe she didn't hear me. I'll repeat it again the next day. It's just selective hearing. And Peg, here's what you need to do to, you know, to please me. This will please me. So she never did it. And then one day, because I kept telling it in church how she never does anything to please me, one day she actually did cook it so I would have nothing to say. She did it. I did it. I cooked it. There. Get up. Don't you see that? Don't you think that's funny? That's humorous. That's humorous. Because she's a wicked woman and I love her. I want her to be wicked. I never gave her that thinking she would do it. I gave her that knowing she wouldn't do it. So I could forgive her and show mercy toward her. See how kind I was. Suzanne, can you see that? It's beautiful on my part. Could hardly wait till she said, I'm sorry. I've been a bad wife. That's all right. I forgive you. But I never got that chance because she wouldn't confess that it was necessary or needed or wanted. Do y'all understand? Laugh. Enjoy yourself. The reason Jesus came so you could laugh. Don't take yourself seriously. Take him seriously. There's the one man that you want as the one man you have. So I'm glad these guys had a big argument. Erasmus wrote a small book, let's say 100 pages. Luther wrote a big book, 4 times that size, in answer to him. Erasmus, here's where you're wrong. And Erasmus thought he was so brilliant, because he was. He thought he was so brilliant, Luther would just be shut up. But instead, Luther attacked him with such fire, such fierceness, that it created a whole new world. It's called the Reformation. It set a fire in England, in France, in Netherlands, in Denmark, in Sweden, everywhere. That fire is still going on. And it's filling the whole world today. The Roman Catholic Church never again was able to recover. It could not ever again control all of Europe. And Europe to this day is Muslim. It's not even going to Christianity. And the Pope's going to have to make a deal. Because there's nothing he can do to stop them. You can't reason with them. You can't discuss it with them. They don't care. They don't buy all that talk. They're power people. Just show me the power. I love it. So if you preach to them, they don't listen. But if they're sick, and you have the power of the Holy Spirit, and you heal them, they listen. If you love, and you show them the love based on your faith, because they know if you love them, they know you're not supposed to. They don't expect to be loved.